Good morning. Today's daf in Nazir Tes Vav. This is the last daf of the second parak of the Masechta. We are on Yudam and Beis. We're going to be starting with the words Amar Rav Chista. It's right in the half point of the Amud. Okay, the Gemara yesterday talked about nesting Naziris, nesting one Nazir into another Nazir. So you accepted upon yourself two Naziris, and sequentially you went AB. You started your B and right in the middle of B, so then the A kicked in. So what do? So you nest a Naziris inside another Naziris. It's a complicated sugya. So we started it yesterday. We're going to finish it today. But when I say finish it today, the next Mishnah, the starting point of today's daf, is going to give us another case of nesting Naziris. So we're not really done with it. But when the parak is over, Emirat Hashem, today we'll finish the parak. So we're going to be done with this topic of nesting a Naziris inside of another Naziris. Okay, with that stated, so let us take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara over here now is going to go a little bit off-road. We're going to be asking some tangential questions regarding the Naziris, not really related to the nesting the Naziris. But if you remember yesterday, so a lot of great conceptualization when you nest a Naziris inside another Naziris. So then how do we look at it? Do we look at it as a continuum? Do we look at it as two independent Naziris? It just happens to be that one's resting inside of another one. Okay, so just a classic discussion in yesterday's daf. The Gemara also talked a little bit about what if you're in your overtime. Overtime for Naziris, what's it called? So some sort of ball game. So in other words, you finished your count. It just happens to be that you need to grow out your hair. How in the world did that happen? So we described yesterday, what happened is sometime toward the end of your Naziris, so someone came along and just shaved your head. And, without your permission, obviously you didn't want it. And so now you did your minion. You finished counting, but now you just simply have to now wait until you have substantial hair growth. So it's, it's a bad mashal, but it's basically overtime. So now what happens if you become tummy during that overtime? Is it soser? Is it not soser? The machlokas hamarayim. Good. That we also covered yesterday as well. I'm Rav Chista HaKomodim. Okay. So, we just ended off, with yesterday's point about what happens when you become tummy during your OT, right? You finish minyan, but you still need for hair to grow. And machlok is between Rav and Shmuel, whether that tumah is going to be soser and minyan or not. Now, what happens in Kiddush Seir Bedam? Now, in Kiddush Seir Bedam, what in the world is that referring to? So in other words, Zrikas Adam occurred. So again, we're going to go over this time and again throughout this Masechta. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. You finish counting, right? After you finish counting, you're going to go to the base of Mikdash the next day, and you're going to bring karbanos, three karbanos in total. Echatas, an ola, and a shlamim. And with the karbanos, obviously, you have what's called Zrikas Adam, the sprinkling of the blood of the karbanos, which is going to be done by the Kohen. And now the Gemara's question over here is as follows, is that the Nazir becomes Tamei after Zrikas Adam. However, he hasn't yet done Giluach. He hasn't shaved. Meaning on this day in which you're bringing the karbanos, you're also going to be shaving all your hair. And again, more we're going to describe later on, and you're going to take your hair, you're going to put it under the pot where it's going to get burnt, and same pot where the shlamim is going to get cooked. If you know what I'm talking about, great. If not, please review the psukim. We're going to discuss it later in the Gemara. Anyway, so where we are specifically at the point where the karbanos were brought, and when I say karbanos are brought, we're talking about the ikker karban being brought. And that is the collection of the blood, the shechting of the carbon, the collection of the blood, the bringing of the blood to the mizbech, and the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbech. Zrikas Adam. That is where you get the check mark for having brought the carbon. However, at this point in time, you haven't yet shaved your hair. And now what happens is that you become tummy at this point in time. So it is similar to yesterday's discussion. In other words, in yesterday's discussion, you finish counting your minyan. You just happen to need to wait until your hair to grow out. Over here, we are also in some version of overtime. It's not exactly the same. In other words, you finished your minyan, you brought your karbanos, the kohanim was zorik, the dam of the karban, and now you become tummy precisely at that point in time. So ein lo takana. So Rav Chista says at that point in time ein lo takana. Nothing you could do about it, right? Fallen. It's totally lost. Now the Gemara says, now what's going on over here? Aliba Daman. So Rav Chista is obviously making a really strong statement, but in order to appreciate and understand this really strong statement, what we have to do is we have to compare it to Machlokas Tanayim, which we haven't seen yet. So this is the first time we're going to see it. We're going to see it a couple times in our Masechta. It's coming up in the Mems. So E Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, Kevin Amartikalachas Ma Kevas Toch Meloso, Velistor. So now, if we were going like Shitas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says that tiklachas is a critical component of the nazir process, and it's ma'akev, and it's essential. And if I and if you become tummy before tiklachas, so then that's it. It upsets everything. Redo. You got to recount again. So according to Rabbi Elazar, if you become tummy. Again, you brought all your karbanos to Kohen and were zorik the dam of all the karbanos. You haven't yet done the tiglachas. According to Rabbi Elazar, tiglachas is essential. So now that means what? According to Rabbi Elazar, start the whole thing again. So when the Gemara says ein lo takana, Rav Chista is insisting ein lo takana. If I'm looking at it through the lens of Rabbi Eliezer, of course there's a takana. Just start counting again. And el aliba de rabbanan ha'amri tiglachas lo makeves. And now, fine. So take out the lens of Rabbi Eliezer and put on the lens of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that Tiglachas is a mitzvah, obviously, but it's not essential. It's not critical for the concluding ceremony of the Nazir. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, okay, so in other words, you didn't do Tiglachas. No big deal. Meaning, and now you have successfully concluded your Nazirus. So when Rav Chista makes this really harsh statement of in lo takana, there's nothing you could do about it, what do you mean? If I hold like Rabbi Eliezer, there's plenty you could do about it. In fact, you have to just start and count again. And according to the Chachamim, you're finished. You're concluded. So la'olam aliba derabanan umayin lo takana in lo takana lemitzvos giluach. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to soften Rav Chista. What Rav Chista meant is, first of all, he's looking at it through the lens of the Chachamim. That's number one. And so that means to say that tiglachas is not essential, but it's still a mitzvah. And so the only point that we're making of ein lo takana meaning that you lost the mitzvah of giluach. That's all. Okay, good. Yeah. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Nazir Shekalo Yamav Loka, Al Atomav, Eino Loka, Al Teglachas, Velo Al Hayayin. Okay, another thing. Nazir Shekalo Yamav. Good. So we're looking at the Nazir where he finished counting. But he hasn't brought his karbanos yet. And so now, let's say he becomes Tamei. Bimezid. In other words, so for whatever reason, again, everyone has free choice. So for whatever reason, he decides, you know what? I know I elected to become a Nazir, and I counted the day successfully. I'm right now in this interim period of, I have finished my count, but I haven't yet brought my karbanos. And now during this interim period, so what does he do? He decides, I'm going to a cemetery. Okay, good. That's his decision. So he does so willfully. So he's going to get Malkus. In other words, he's violating a law in the Torah. He's going to get Malkus. But however, he's not going to get Malkus for cutting his hair, and he's not going to get Malkus for drinking wine. Meaning, you're not allowed to, meaning you haven't brought your karbanos yet, but you're not going to be subject to Malkus. Okay. Now, the obvious question, which the Gemara is going to ask is, how's that different? Meaning, if you're getting Malkus for one of the Yisurim, shouldn't you should get Malkus for the other two as well? Gemara's question. So, Maishna Toma Dalaki Damakra, Kol Yimei Zira LaShem, LeRabos, Yamim Shala Achim Alos. So, what we're looking at over here is the Pasuk, obviously by Nazir, and we're darshaning. Kol Yimei Zira LaShem. So, you see that word Kol, and Kol obviously is a ribui. It's saying that we're including all the days. What do you mean, all the days? Of course. You said you're going to be Nazir for 30 days. Every one of them, you're a Nazir. So, what is the Kol coming to include? It's coming to include even the post days. Right? In other words, that interim period where you finish your counting, but you haven't yet brought your karbanos. So the kol is coming to be marred by those days as well. Which means that during those days, if you decide that you're going to go to a cemetery, b'mezid, you're going to get malchus. So the ihachi, the gemara says, okay. So let's be consistent. So, atiglachas naim lechayev. Da'am rechmana kol yimei neder nizrotar lo yavar rosho. So la'asos yamim shalachim alos ki yamim shalifnim alos. Let's pause for a moment. So we have the word, same word kol, as it relates to the Isser of cutting your hair? And if now you finished your count, but you haven't brought your karbanos and you cut your hair during this interim period, so then you should get Malkus there as well. The kol should be accomplishing the same thing. Visu in the Gemara says, and let's pile on. Kol yimei nizra mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin. So la'asos yamim lachem alos ki yamim shelifnei malos. And we also have the kol as it relates to drinking wine. So the kol also is coming, should be including not only the days of minyan, but even the days after minyan, the days between minyan and karban. So if you drink wine, you should be subject to a lav. So the Gemara says, okay, so what I don't understand is that I understand the drasha, but let's follow through with the drasha, because we have a word kol by all three of the yisurim. So shari hacha, amar chamana, vitime rosh nizro. So, misha nizro tal lo barosha. So the, So the Gemara says, okay, so the reason why it's limited only to Tumah, but not to the other Isurim is because we have a special pasuk as it relates to Tumah. It says Vitime Rosh Nizro, and what did he do when he became Tame? He was Metame Rosh Nizro. Literally, doesn't translate well literally, but he was Metame his hair, right? The top of his head. What does that mean? He was Metame his hair. In other words, when you become Tame, all of you becomes Tame. So now, obviously, what the Torah is looking to do, and this is the Gemara's drasha over here, Mishin Nizro Talo Berosho. It's somebody whose Tumah is connected to his hair. Meaning, as long as you haven't gone through the concluding process of bringing karbanos and shaving your hair, so you're going to be subject to tuma. Meaning, and even though the others are going to be out there as well, but when it comes to tuma, a special drasha that tells me that you're going to get malchus for being mitame during this interim days. Meisvei, the Gemara says, okay, as much as, who's the Baal Memra? Sorry. This is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. So as much as Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina wants to make a distinction that you become tame during the post minyan, but pre karbanos, you become tame. You're going to be subject to malchus, but that's only by tuma. That's not by tikalachas, and that's not by yayin. So that is, so clearly he's of that position, and he believes that he has drushas that support that. Meisve, the Gemara challenges. Knows the shikalo yamav asol legalech blishos yam latam lameisim v'ingilach v'shos yam v'nitm lameisim hariz the sofik gets arbayim. So over here the Brisa says there's no difference, meaning that in this post minyan period, but pre-carbon period, so you're still bound by all the Yisurim of a Nazir. A Nazir finishes his minyan, but hasn't gone to the concluding Karbanos. And again, there's a lag between them. In other words, understandably, in other words, not everyone lives in Yerushalayim. And even if you do, not everyone has Karbanos readily available. Whatever, there's a lag between the minyan and the Karbanos. So during this period, so you're still subject to all the Yisurim of a Nazir. Furthermore, if you violate any one of them, b'mezit, you're going to get Malkus. So Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, so as much as Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina is committed to his position, but the Braisa clearly refutes that position. Conclusion is that during this lag period between Minyan and Karbanos, so a Nazir is still bound by all the Isurim of a Nazir, and not just bound by the Isurim, but subject to the Onshim that a Nazir is, that another Nazir is subject to, notably Malkus. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end, really, of yesterday's daf. We start now the Mishnah. This is a concluding Mishnah of the second Perek, and more of the same. Right? What we learned in yesterday's daf, we're going to continue learning in our daf as well. In other words, nesting Naziris inside of another Naziris. Hareini Nazir lechishieli ben. So once again, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has a son, and making pledges, right? Becoming a Nazir is a mitzvah. And again, I'm not ignoring the general machlokas and whether it's good or bad to be a Nazir, but for simplicity's sake right now, he believes that it's going to serve as an extra zchus for him. So he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if in fact you provide for me a son, so then I'm going to become a Nazir. So good. So he makes such a pledge. And on top of that, v'nazir me'ayom. And on top of that, I'm going to be a Nazir for 100 days. So he accepts upon himself two Nazirios. One for with the tied to the condition of having a son, and the other one stomped to be a Nazir for 100 days. Okay, good. So with those two pledges, so what happens? So he started counting his 100-day Naziris, and then in those 100 days, Baruch Hashem, he had a son. So no lo ben ad shivim lo hifzik klum. So if he had a son ad shivim up until day 70, meaning again, now there are two Nazirios, we're going to call them A and B. The A is a Nazir for having a son, and the B is a 100-day Naziris. The 100-day Naziris, he started counting immediately, and then what happens is that during those 100 days, he had a son. So now what he has to do is he has to interrupt, because the 100-day Naziris is the B slot, right. and the Nazir having a son is the A slot. So what he's going to do is he's going to interrupt the B slot, and he's now going to count. So lo hifzik klum. He hasn't lost anything. I'm going to come back to that line of the Mishnah in just a moment. La'achar shivim, sosar shivim. But if, let's say, he had the son after 70 days, so let's say on the 80th day now of his 100-day Naziris, now he had a son, so now what happens? Sosar shivim. So the 70 days that he counted already, he's going to lose. She'ein tiglachas pachus mishloshim yom, because again, remember that for tiglachas, you need a minimum of 30 days of growth. Okay. Now, I read the Mishnah, and the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah is hard to read and it's hard to translate. I take it back. It's easy to translate. I just did that. It's hard to understand. In other words, when the Mishnah says that if you have a son within 70 days, so lo hifsid klom, you haven't lost anything. It's a tough line of the Mishnah. What does that mean, you haven't lost anything? Meaning, if I go back to what we learned previously, what happens when I have the scenario of two Nazirus commitment, an A and a B, and what happens is that I started the B, and then the A interrupts the B. So what we learned, just as recently as yesterday, is that what we're going to do is that we're going to interrupt. We'll interrupt the, right, we'll interrupt this this B with the A, and we'll count the A in the B, and then after finishing the A, you'll go ahead and you'll resume the B. In other words, what we learned yesterday, nesting Nazirus inside one another. So over here in our Mishnah, it seems to be pretty much the same case. And now what the Mishnah is telling us is, lo hifsid klum, you haven't lost anything. It's a tough line in the Mishnah. Now, I will say for full disclosure. It's not really full disclosure. We're just scratching the surface. But what Tosus is makes an argument. This Tosus is not found in our daf. He goes all the way back to daf Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel Midbeis is where you're going to find the Tosus. So Tosus makes an argument that over here in this case in our Mishnah, what you can do now is you can count the two Naziros concurrently, one with the other. And then Tosus has to somehow make a distinction between this Mishnah, which we're learning right now, and the Mishnah, and the previous Mishnah. Where in the previous Mishnah, you're interrupting it over here, you're counting concurrently. Okay, so I said it only because, in other words, obviously, you know, I'm trying to make my way through the Tosusim, and so he does say it. However, just to make our lives a little bit easier and a little bit simpler, so I'm not going to go with Tosus' pshat, even though normally I do, and we're just going to say what probably is a just smoother pshat in our Mishnah over here. Meaning, interruption. Meaning, what we're learning together now is that basically what we learned yesterday. And that is that you're interrupting your 100-day Nazirus, because that's your B Nazirus, and you're interrupting it now with your Nazirus for having a child. Your Nazirus for having a child, we're going to assume, is the 30-day Nazirus, and you're going to interrupt it, and then after interruption, you then go ahead and you resume your other Nazirus. So if it's really making the same point as yesterday, so why over here are we having a separate Mishnah to describe basically yesterday's point? So effectively what comes out from our Mishnah over here is that as long as I have a remainder of a minimum of 30 days of my interrupted Nazirus, so you're good. Because what you need in order to do Tiglachas after, at the end of Nazirus is that you need a minimum of 30 days of growth. So what I need to do is I need to be able to count 30 days of Nazir. So, if the son is born anywhere before day 70, so then, fine. So then I'll interrupt, I'll do the Nazirs for the son, and then afterwards I'll have 30 days remaining. But if the son is born after 70 days, so now what's going to happen is that I'm going to have to interrupt, I'll do the Nazirs for the son, and then I'll resume. But resumption over here, what do I have left? Let's say 20 days, 10 days. If the number is less than 30, so now what's going to happen is that I'm just simply not going to have enough hair. You need 30 days of hair growth and you're not going to have it. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to tack on. Now, how much are you going to tack on? So again, I'm reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't read so smoothly. The Mishnah says, la'acha shivim, soser shivim, right? Soser shivim literally reads that what it's going to do is it's going to knock out the 70 days. Knock out the 70 days. What do you mean? You counted them. So, right. So probably over here, Soster Shivim just simply means that they're going to be suspended. And then what's going to happen is that when you resume, you're going to have to add on you're going to have to add on another 30 days. Okay, fine. Okay. I admit the Mishnah over here gets a little bit choppy only because we have to look at this Mishnah in the context of having already known the previous Mishnah. Okay, good. Amar Rav. The Gemara is going to be really focusing on today, for the remainder of today, and for the remainder of the Perek, just one singular point. And that is the halacha of Rav. Rav says, Yom HaShvi, Ola Lekan, Ola Lekan. Okay, so, Yom Shivim. I'm not sure I read it correctly. Now I'll read it correctly. Yom Shivim, Ola Lekan, Ola Lekan. So the simple point of Rav is as follows. Let's say the baby was born on day 70. Meaning, if you look at the Mishnah gives a description of No Lad Lo Ben, Ad Shivim, until day 70, and then the Mishnah describes La'achar Shivim, after day 70. So what Rav now is going to be focusing on is that what happens when the baby is born on day 70 itself. So what you get to do is you get to double count. This idea of taking a single day and counting it twice, it's not an old idea. We've already expressed this idea earlier in our very own Masechta. But today is a day where we get to really focus on this idea of basically double dipping a single day. I could take a single day and count it, not once, but twice. Now, how do I take a day and count it twice? We know the answer to that. Mixas ayom kekulo. That basically what we're able to do is that we're able to say that as long as I observe part of the day, it's as if I observe the entirety of the day. This principle, mixas ayom kekulo, works only when I'm doing a count. So when I'm doing a count, so we say mixas ayom kekulo, like Shiva, like Zava Gadola, right? And by the way, all those examples are coming up in today's daf. So when I'm doing those types of counts, so when I get to the last day of that count, so then what I get to do is I get to say mixas yom kekulo. Not everyone agrees with this principle of mixas yom kekulo, but Rav, the Amora, clearly is of this position of mixas yom kekulo. So I'm a Rav yom shivim ololokan lekan. So what you get to do is as follows, is that so on day 70, so now day 70 will count not only as the 70th day post your first Nazirus, but it also, you're able to count it as day one of your son's Nazirus. So, Yom Shivim Olo Lekan Lekan. Okay. So So that is the Halacha of Rav, and the Gemara discusses. Tanano Lalo. So the first thing we're going to discuss is reading this into the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, No Lalo Ad Shivim Lo Yifstiklum. So, Isa Gadacha Olo Lekan Lekan Itgori Mitgar. So the Gemara says, so now, if the Mishnah is in agreement with Rav, so what did the Mishnah describe? The baby was born ad shivim, until the 70th day. And until the 70th day, now we generally get a little bit confused when it says the word ad. Is ad mean up to and including? Does it mean up to but not including? But we'll assume that the ad of our Mishnah is up to and including day 70. So if the baby is born up to and including day 70, so the Mishnah tells us that lo hits the klum, you didn't lose anything. So the Gemara says you didn't lose anything. According to Rav, not only did you not lose anything, but you gained a day. So the isa gedachola kanala kanit guri mitker. So the Gemara says so, but according to Rav, it's not just a question of not losing. You also, on top of that, also gain a day, because what you get to do is you get to count day 70, both as the 70th day towards your. Towards your 100 day Naziris, and you get to count it as day one of your son's Naziris. So, Ela Bedinu Delo Lisne, Ad Shivim. So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, the only reason why the Mishnah wrote it in this style is Mishum Diktani Sefer Acha Shivim, so Shivim, Ketani Resha Shivim. So Gemara says, again, symmetrical purposes, meaning the Mishnah wants to contrast be the Ad Shivim to Acher Shivim, and that's why the Mishnah wrote in the style of Ad Shivim. But you're right. Meaning, if the baby was born in day 70, Ola Kan Ola Kan. So Tashma Misefa. So the Gemara says, okay, Nolad Acher Shivim, so Shivim. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's look at the second half of the Mishnah. Where in the second half of the Mishnah, what does it say? Acher Shivim. Now, Acher Shivim means what? Day 71. Okay. So in other words, if the baby's born on day 71, so now, what happens is, you're going to lose everything. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Why should that be? Let's consider. Baby's born on day 71. So now day 71 is treated like what? Both the count towards your Nazirus, and it's also going to be the day one of the Nazirus of your son. So that means to say now that you should be good. Even if the baby's born on day 71, you should be good. So the Gemara says, my acher, acher, acher. So the Gemara says, okay, when the Mishnah said the word Acher, it didn't mean 71, it meant 72. I admit that's a bit of a dochik. That generally speaking, the word Acher means the day after. Okay, the Gemara says it's 2 days after. Ava Acher mamish mai hachinami lo sasar. So the Gemara says, okay, so then that means to say that if the baby's born on day 71, so then it's not going to be sosar. I hachi mai irya deni nolad hashivim lo hifse klum afilu Acher shivim nami amar lo sasar. So the Gemara says, okay, but then what happens is that, look, in the Mishnah, clearly there's a line of demarcation. Because the Mishnah says, Lifnei Shivim, let me say more accurately. The Mishnah says, Ad Shivim, and then the Mishnah contrasts that with Acher Shivim. And now you're making the argument that Acher Shivim doesn't mean day 71, it means day 72. Yeah, but that's not where the line of demarcation is drawn in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah also says ad shivim, up until day 70. Up until day 70, we're going to assume means includes day 70, but the line is drawn between day 70 and day 71. And you want to push the line ahead of day, you can't read that into the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, when you read the Mishnah, you know to where to draw the line. The line is drawn up to and including day 70. So that's the ratio of the Mishnah. And from day 70 and onward, meaning day 71 and onward, so that's the seifa of the Mishnah. And so this idea that Rav says that you get to double dip, so there's no support of that from the Mishnah. Now, it's so funny. The Gemara here is really hard to read. Umasnisan l'Rav shmamina. If I translate those words literally, the Mishnah for Rav, we get to learn. Okay, what Tosus explains over here, what that means is that our Mishnah is not going to be support for Rav. Meaning our Mishnah does not subscribe to this idea of Mixas Yom Kekulo. Okay, so if our Mishnah is not subscribing to Mixas Yom Kekulo, now what? So V'Rav Kaman Amar L'Shmaite. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we need to do is we need to find support for Rav. Meaning Rav is going like a Tana, right? And there's a Tana out there who subscribes to this idea of Mixas Yom Kekulo. Who is the Tana subscribed to that? So the Gemara points to Abishal. So Elam Abishal did not cover its mezo shoshim im kodim l'rego. Balami menu gzira shiva shmoni yamim kodim l'rego. Balami menu gzira shloshim muta l'saper erev rego v'im lo siper erev rego aso l'saper achar rego. Okay, I just said a mouthful. Okay, so over here, I assume we all know the basics of Avelis. So Avelis is broken up into two periods of mourning, Shiva and Shloshim. Okay, the truth of the matter is I'm just going to assume that we all know the basics. And we also know that when Shiva or Shloshim confront a Yantiv, so Yantiv is Mevatel. It breaks Shiva and it breaks Shloshim. Now, over here, the Halacha and the Mishnah are not the same. The halacha is that if you have a little bit of shiva prior to Yontif is going to be mevato. The Mishnah tells us that you need 3 days of shiva in order for Yontif to be mevato shiva. Okay, the Mishnah does not. The Mishnah and the halacha are not the same. The Gemara and Moedkatan, when we get to it, in Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll go over this. Right now, that's not what we need to focus on. All we need to focus on is the following: that if shiva confronts the Yontif breaks the shiva. If Shloshim confronts the Yontif, same conclusion, Yontif is going to break the Shloshim. During Shloshim, what's Aser? So laundering and getting a haircut. So if you are now going into a Yontif and all you have is Shloshim, meaning you're done with Shiva, and now you have Shloshim, Shloshim's Mevato. But according to the Tanakama, so two things need to happen. First of all, you have to go through the entirety of Shiva, and that means to say that only if the eighth day is Erev Yontif, then and only then is Yontif going to be Mevato. Again, that's not the halacha, but that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Good. And that's number one. And number two is that in order for Yontif to be Mevato, your Shloshim, you need to actively get a haircut in Erev Yontif. If you don't actively get a haircut in Erev Yontif, so the Yontif is not going to be Mevato Shloshim. Those are the two positions of the Tanakhama. Okay. And again, what do we want to focus on? We want to focus on Abishal. So as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Abishal. Abishal Omer, Afilo Siper, Kodem Arego, Mutal Saper, Ach Arego, Shekashem Shemitzvah Shlosha, Mevatel Gzerah Shiva, Kach Mitzvah Shiva, Mevatel Gzerah Shloshim. Okay. So now Abishal is arguing on two points. Number one. Number one is that you don't have to get a haircut before Yontif in order for Yontif to negate Shloshim. Yontif will negate Shloshim whether you did or did not get a haircut. That's number one. Number two is that you don't need to go 8 days, you just need to go 7 days. Meaning, if the seventh day of your Shiva occurs on Erev Yontif, so now what happens? You wake up in the morning on the seventh day, your Shiva now is over because of the principle of Mixas Hayom Kekulo. Then, later that day, the remainder of that day, that now counts towards your Shloshim. Yontif now is obviously that night. It's Mevato your Shloshim. Abishal subscribes to the principle of Mixas Yom Kekulo. So when the question is asked to Rav, what happens when the baby's born on day 70? It's Ola Lakan Ulakan, predicated on the principle of Mixas Yom Kekulo. Who's Rav subscribing to? The answer is Abishal. My time of Abishal, Lav Mishum de Kasavar, Shvi Ola Lakan Ulakan. Okay, and the Gemara now, what I just said. But in other words, obviously, I read ahead. So the Gemara says is that the principle of Abishal is predicated on Ola Lakan Ulakan, Mixas Yom Kikulo, that we are able to take day 7 of your Shiva and divide. And the first part of the day, that's towards your Shiva. Second part of the day, that now is that credits towards your Shloshim. And now Yontif is going to be Mival to your Shloshim. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we have a halacha of Rav that is now going to be linked to the position of Abishal. And the Gemara says, I don't know. Dilmad kan lo kamar Abishal alaba velo Shiva, because that's the Rabbanan. Av Abinazim midaraisa lo. So the Gemara says, well, why can't we say the following? Maybe Abishal is going to be Mekel as it relates to Shiva. Shiva is a rabbinic institution. Okay. There are aspects of Avelis that are Daraisa, but the general practice of a week of Shiva, so that is all rabbinic legislation. That is a Din Derabbanan. So now you could say the following. Mm-hmm. I know how Yontif is going to be Mevatel, and even though you haven't observed 7 full days, but in other words, you wake up in the morning of the 7th, then that will count towards the end of your Shiva, and the remainder of the day now credits towards the next stage of Avelis, which is Shloshim. Got it. That's a Din Derabbanan. By Derabbanans, we could be Mekel. However, when it comes to what we are doing over here, Minyan Nazirus, a Nazir Zadaraisa concept, counting to your Nazirus is a Daraisa concept. So over here, what I can't do, this is what the Gemara is trying to argue, is that when it comes to Daraisas, I can't double dip. I can't take day 70, count it towards 2 different Nazirios. The Nazirus of your 100-day Nazir and your Nazir for having a son. I can't take one day and count it towards 2 Nazirios. That's the Din Daraisa. Okay. A simple distinction to be made. And maybe even if I did subscribe to Abishol, but that's not going to be support for Rav. We need to be discussing on a Daraisa level. So the Gemara says, fine. So what I'll do now is I'll just cite you a position that does subscribe to a Daraisa level. El Rav Da'amar Karebi Yossi. So our second attempt for today, and this is going to be our final attempt, is that Rav now could be aligned with the Shita Rabbi Yossi. Did Tanya Rabbi Yossi Amar Shomer Yom Kenege Yom Sheshachtu Vizarku Aleha Bisheni Shala Achar Kach Raasa Hareza Eino Achelas Upetur Melasos Pesach Sheni. Okay, the following halacha. Okay, once again, by the way, better understanding of this would be a working knowledge of how Zava works. Zava Katana, Zava Gedola. And I'm not going to be able to, in the short amount of time that we have together, really give a proper introduction over here, okay, towards the Zava Gedola and Zava Katana. That introduction in of itself would be taking us well past my allotted time. So I'm assuming right now that we have general knowledge of Zava Katana and Zava Gedola, and if you need more help, see me after, and I'll fill in more details. But basically, the idea is as follows, is that a woman saw during her Yemei Ziva, and she saw one day, which is now means that she's a Zava Katana, and what she needs to do is observe one clean day, Keneged, the one day that she saw, and now we're describing a scenario in which she saw on day 13 of Nisan, and now the next day, of course, is Erev Pesach, and she wants to bring a carbon, so what she'll do is the following, she'll tov in the mikvah on day 13, right, and then the next day is what's called Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. If the next day comes and goes and she successfully has observed the clean day the next day, so now she's good to go. So what you're going to do now is you're going to be Shechting Karm Pesach on her behalf. In other words, men and women are obligated in Karm Pesach. So you'll be, that in of itself also is a machlokus, but we're assuming right now that there's a chova for women also to have Karm Pesach. You're Shechting the Karm Pesach on her behalf. And now what we're describing is as follows, is that after the Karm Pesach was shechted on her behalf, remember, the Karm Pesach is shechted in the afternoon. So that means to say that there's still more day to go. And then post-Shechitas Karm Pesach, what happens? Ra'adam. She saw blood. So now what happens is that day, which was a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom day, so that day now is going to fall away. However, she gets a check for Karm Pesach. Because the Karm Pesach was brought on her behalf, at a time where she was observing Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, so therefore she gets a check for Karm Pesach, and now even though despite the fact that she saw Dam later that day, she is going to be putter from having to bring Pesach Sheni because she gets a check for Karm Pesach. Okay. I admit, this halach of Rabbi Yossi, I explained it not fully. So if you don't fully understand, it's because we're just whatever. I explained it really succinctly. But anyway, my time of the Rav Yossi. Now the reason for this is as follows. So it must be the following. Mixas Yom Kikulo and Mekana Labahu Metame. Meaning as follows. How is Rav Yossi looking at her halachically? She woke up in the morning on the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Meaning she saw Dam on day 13. She wakes up in the morning on day 14. She has to observe a clean day. As long as the morning has come and gone, check. She has now observed a clean day. Mixas Hayom Kikulo. She saw later that day, that's a new Re'iyah. Disconnected from yesterday's Re'iyah. The Gemara at the end of the sugya is going to ask a simple question. According to Rav Yossi, how does a woman ever become a Zava Gadola? A Zava Gadola is a woman who saw three consecutive days. How do you get there? Gemara is going to ask at the end of the discussion. That's coming up. But meanwhile, this is how Rav Yossi views it. That she woke up in the morning, she gets a check for being a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. The dam that she sees later that day, post the shechting of the Karm Pesach, it's new dam. Okay? And so therefore, what do we see over here? This is obviously a din d'oraisa. The requirement and the obligation and the check for received for having brought Karm Pesach, despite the fact that previously, yesterday, she had a Re'iyas dam during her Yemei Ziva. All this operates on a d'oraisa level, and yet, mixes a Yom Kikulo. Oh, on a din d'oraisa. Okay, perfect. The Gemara now is just going to be doing a little bit of cleanup, because Rav Yossi's position just needs to be fleshed out a little bit better. Umis of Rav Yossi hachi, v'atani Rav Yossi omer, zav val shtei riyah sheshachtu, v'zarku alav. B'shvi'i. V'chein shomer yom keneged yom, sheshachtu v'zarku alav. V'achar kach ra'u af al pi shemetam mishka v'moshav, l'mafrem patur malasos Pesach sheni. So over here, a braisa, really similar to what we learned previously. The Bryce over here happens to be dealing with two cases. One is a Zav. That's a man who had a discharge. A Zav is similar and dissimilar from that of a Zava. Again, right now, I'm not going to go through details, but basically, he's counting Shiv and Akim. His seventh day is coming out on Erev Pesach. And again, same thing. Wakes up in the morning, clean, Shech's Karm Pesach is Shech on his behalf, and then, after the Karm Pesach, he then has a Re'iyah that undoes his Shiv Nekiyim. And the same thing with regarding a woman. A woman who, again, same story. She's Shomer Yom Keneged Yom on the 14th. And Shechta the Karban Pesach on her behalf. And and afterwards she saw Dam. So, the critical part of the Braisa that we just read together, and I'm going to reread, is Af Apisha Metam Mishka Vamoshav Limafreya. Now, what's going to happen is that later in that day, because the Zav had a Re'iyah, because the Zava, the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom Zava, had Dam, so now what's going to happen is retroactive Tumah. Okay. And so that retroactive Tumah makes it sound like we don't say Mixas Yom Kikulo. So that's what I'm saying. We have a little bit of cleanup that we need to do. So my lema frey midarabban. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you how to clean it up. When it says lemafreya, it means midrabbanan. That's a chumra derabbanan, meaning min ha-Torah. So what happens is that when she woke up in the morning, clean, so that's it. She, at that point in time, she's tahora. Ligamre. The dam that she sees later on, that's new dam. Min ha-Torah. And then as a chumra midrabbanan, the chachamim said, yeah, but it's going to go back retroactively, but that's a din derabbanan, that's a chumra derabbanan. So the Gemara says, and I know I'm right about that. How do I know I'm right? Because all you have to do is just read the next line of the Braisa. Hachinami mistabed isak adachin da raisa amai peturim alasos Pesach sheni. Because the Braisa concludes, oh no, by the way, a month from now when we get to Pesach sheni, she doesn't have to bring a carbon for Pesach sheni. Because she already got a check for Pesach Risha. What? How did she receive a check for Pesach, for the Karm Pesach Rishon? The answer is very simple. Because she fulfilled the mitzvah. How did she fulfill the mitzvah? Because when she woke up in the morning clean, mixas yom kikulo. She's good. Now, when the Karm Pesach is brought on her behalf, she's good. Then when she sees afterwards dam, so that's new. It says that it's mitame lemafreya, that's midarabanan. Okay. The Gemara, as it is, as its nature, is going to be a little bit argumentative over here. The Gemara says, maybe we can make the following argument. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe the Tumah Lamafrei is a Tumah Daraisa. Why is she receiving a check for a Karban Pesach? A special halacha of what's called Tumas HaTahom. Tumas HaTahom, we discussed this back in Pesachim, and that is that your tummy you didn't know at the time. So when you bring a Karban Pesach, and you are tummy but just simply unaware, you learned about it afterwards, but at the time you were unaware, this in halacha is referred to as Tumas HaTahom. And when it comes to Karban Pesach, you halacha lamoshe misinai, you get credited for your Karban Pesach, even though you learned afterwards that you were tummy at the time. Okay? And this is a special halacha, and so maybe over here we can argue it's Tumas HaTahom. Ve'af Rabbi Oshia Savar lemafrei medrabana. But the Gemara says, okay, as much as you're going to be argumentative, but the Gemara says, but there are Amoraim who clearly say that this Tumah lemafrei of Rav Yossi is only a din derabanan, notably Rav Oshia. The Gemara quotes lemafrei medrabanan d'tanya Rav Yossi Omer arozo b'shvi'i shelo soser eshelafana v'amrle Rav Yochanan. So Rav Oshia says the following. So let's say a man who is a zav, right, baal shtei re'ios, who has to count shivanakim. So he's counting a shivanakim and is on day 7. And on day 7, what happens? He wakes up, he was clean, and then later that day, he had a discharge. He had a re'iyah. So what happens is all 7 days get knocked out. And Amarle Rav Yochanan Nistar El Yomo. And Rav Yochanan makes a really curious statement. He says, "Nah, you didn't lose all 7 days. You only lost one day." What? The Gemara says, "What? Manafshach, he sasser kulo sasser, and he lo sasser lo nistar velo yomo. Ela ema lo nistar velo yomo." Okay. So first clarification of the sheet of Rav Yochanan. In other words, Rav Yochanan says you're good. You need shivanakim. You counted shivanakim. I on the 7th day later that day you discharged. That's new. That's new. Meaning that once you woke up in the morning and you were clean, you that's it. You count that towards your shivanakim. The amrle Rav Yossi kai kavasech the amar mikanu laba mitame. Rav Oshi is now commenting to Rav Yochanan and says, "Look, I disagree with you, but I know who supports your position. Rav Yossi supports your position." Okay. So now, as Rav Oshia is taking his bar plukta of Rav Yochanan and aligning it with the sheet of Rav Yossi, so now you see that Rav Oshia clearly had an understanding of Rav Yossi subscribing to the principle of mixas yom kakulo. What about the fact that it says Tumala Mafreya? The Gemara's next question, Vahab Rav Yossi Lamafreya Hudamar? So Maila Mafreya Midarabanan. Rav Yossi talks about retroactive Tumah. I know he does. That's a Chumra Midarabanan. Min HaTorah, your Torah Legamre. Okay, good. So Adkan, that takes us really to the end of today's daf, but as long as we're here, let's just finish up. Let's get to the end of the parak and just wrap up. Right, I foreshadowed this question a couple of minutes ago, but now with the Gemara gets to say it. Rav Yossi Michti, Sever Mixas Yom Kukulo. So now, in today's daf, the Tana Rav Yossi, the Amora Rav, so they subscribe to this idea of Mixas Yom Kukulo. When you're doing a minyan, when you're counting, even on a Dinda Oraisa, and on that last day, a partial observance of that last day counts as a full day. Mixas Yom Kukulo. Perfect. So we saw that by Rav Yossi, we saw that by Rav. We saw that also by Abba Shalom regarding Avelus. Okay, 3 areas in Halacha where we say Mixas Yom Kukulo. The Gemara just now wants to know. We have a Halacha, what's called Zava Gedola. A woman who sees blood during her Yemei Ziv on 3 consecutive days qualifies now as a Zava Gedola. So focus over here on the words 3 consecutive days. Once I say Mixas Yom Kukulo, you're never going to get to 3 consecutive days. You saw on day 1, you wake up the next morning, you were clean. That's already now done. You're a Shomeris Yom Kenegi Yom, and it's been observed. Okay? And any dam you see subsequently, that's new dam. Okay? So now, it's a simple question. For Rabbi Yossi, there is a halach of Zava Gedola. It's a din de araisa. How do you ever get there? Meaning, what's the Torah is now speaking of some sort of abstract position where a woman's going to be a Zava Gedola. It's just practically, it's never going to happen. So over Rabbi Yossi Michzi, Sover Michzis Yom Kekulo, Zava Gemura, Demaisi Karban, Heichi Mishkachala. And oh, by the way, once you're a Zava Gedola, so not only do you have to count Shiva Nekiyim, but at the end of your Shiva Nekiyim, on the eighth day, you have to bring Karbanos. In other words, and again, the Torah spells all this out. When is it ever going to happen? According to Rav Yossi. Kevin dechazi bepagad yomei, idach pagad yomei salek la, lishimor. Gemara just simply spells out the question over here, and that is that once you wake up in the morning on day number two, and as long as you were clean for just a moment that morning, so that's it. You've observed your shmira, that's a whole day. And now, whatever comes after that is new. So the Gemara says, E by Sam, the Gemara says, I'll give you two examples. And that is, and by the way, all this should sound familiar. We've heard this Gemara numerous times throughout Shas, but here we get to hear it again. E by Sam, the Kashafa, Tlasa, Tlasa, Yume, Behada, Adade. So the Gemara says is that she was discharging continuously for three consecutive days. Okay. That's one possibility. And E by Sam, the Kashafa, Tlasa, Yume, Samachushkiya, Sachama, the Lachazi, Shaos, the Sagle, Leminyana. Or the Gemara says is that, You don't even have to go that far to say three consecutive days, but what happened was, is that as she's going from day one to day two, so during the entire Bein HaShemashas period, so she was discharging during that whole period. So therefore, day two never started off as a period of Shimur. In other words, just transitioning from day one to day two during the entire Bein HaShemashas period, she had a Rias Dam. And we'll say the same thing from day two to day three, meaning even if for the rest of day two, she was clean, but she didn't have the Mixas Yom Kekulo. Mixas Yom Kekulo only works on the beginning of the day. She didn't have that. And then going from day two to day three, same story. During the entire Bein HaShemashas period, she was discharging. So no allowance, even if I subscribe to Mixas Yom Kekulo, no allowance for day three to start off in a period of Shimur. Okay. Basically, it can happen. Where even according to Rav Yossi, you will have halacha of Zav Gedola. Adkan, Hadron Alach Harini Nazir, and a quick recap. First part that we did is we just finished up yesterday's daf regarding the statement of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that what happens when, after the Karbanos, but before you did Tiglachas, before you shaved, what happens if you become Tame at that point in time? So Rav Chista make that really harsh statement of Ein Lo Takana. What does that mean? And the Gemara settles on what it means is that you finish your Nazirus, and we're holding like the Chachamim, Tiglachas is a mitzvah. It's not essential. It just meant that you lost out in the mitzvah of doing Tiglachas. Okay. Then to finish up yesterday's daf, we also went through the discussion of what happens after you finish your minyan, but before you brought your karban. And there's a lag between those two periods of time. What happens if you are mitamei lameis, get a haircut, alternatively you drink wine? Are you still subject to the Isurim and the Onshim of a Nazir? Conclusion of the Gemara is, you're subject to all the Isurim, all three. The Gemara quoted a Shita that says that you're only subject to an Onish by Tumah, but not by the other two. The Gemara says Tiyufta. That position's refuted. You're subject to all three Isurim and the Onshim of all three Isurim. And then we started with the Mishnah on the top of today's Daf, and the Mishnah gives us a scenario very similar to yesterday's scenario where you had two Nazirios, an A and a B, and what happens now when you started your B, but you have to interrupt it with the A. It's very similar to yesterday, and again, it really is a complicated Mishnah because Tosos is insisting that in our Mishnah, I'm counting the days concurrently, the two Nazirios concurrently. Okay, and I admit that I acknowledge that position. When we presented the Mishnah, I just presented it like we did the last time. Which and by the way, the Mefarsh speaks like this, the Rambam speaks like this, and that is you're interrupting the B with the A. It just happens to be that now when you resume, you need a minimum of 30 days. Why? Why does resumption require a minimum of 30 days? Because you need hair. In other words, to finish off your Nazirus, you need significant hair, and significant hair by definition is 30 days. Okay, and then what we spent most of our day discussing is the halacha of Rav. Rav says that what happens when baby's born on day 70, I can double count that day. That day will serve not only as a 70th day towards my 100-day Nazirus, it will also count as day one of the Nazir for your son. It can, it double counts. You can double dip that day. Why? Mixas Yom Kekulo. And even though our Mishnah is not supportive of this position of Rav, right, that was the beginning of today's daf, we went through the Mishnah, parsed the Mishnah, and our Mishnah is not supportive of Rav, but others are. Who are the others? So we have basically today two candidates. One candidate is Abishal. Abishal says that we'll say Mixas Yom Kekula as it relates to Avelis. The Gemara says that's wonderful. That's a Din D'Rabbanan. We're talking about a Din D'Oraisa. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe Abishal is not going to be the right candidate, but the right candidate is going to be Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says Mixas Yom Kekula by a Din D'Oraisa. Zava Katana, who saw on day 13, and then on day 14, she experienced just a little bit of Shmira in the beginning of the day, on the morning of the 14th. Good. She is now clean. You offer Karm Pesach on her behalf. Karm Pesach now, Mikuyam. She has a check now for Karm Pesach. If subsequently she has a Riyas Dam, that's new Dam, not related to yesterday's Dam. And why? Because Mixas Yom Kekulo. Right, just the smallest observance of Shmira on the beginning of the day, now it qualifies as she's a Shomer Yom Kekulo. She has successfully been Nishmar from her Ziva. Good. And now she gets a check. And then the complication of today's daf is that Rav Yossi also makes a statement regarding that despite the fact that she counted and she had a Shmira, she is going to be Metamel Mafreya. Okay, that was a complication. The Gemara says that the Metamel Mafreya ostensibly is a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa. And then finally, we wrapped up our daf today and the parak today. Sorry. I don't know what that was. And finally, we wrapped up our daf today with a simple question. According to Rav Yossi, who subscribes to Mixas Yom Kekulo, how do you ever get to becoming a Zava Gadola? And the Gemara gives two answers to that question.